I have wanted a Jeep since I was 16, and I think it might be like my midlife crisis mobile. Have you
and me both.
You've wanted a Jeep too and never had one?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, a Jeep to tow the teardrop trailer that I'm never going to get, but I'm going to spend a year on Instagram looking at.
That sounds really, really good to me. Yeah. Let's get Jeeps. We'll head back to this campground. We'll take them off-road.
Totally.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I am really excited today because we have Scott Elias back on the show after, I think, almost 3 years of him not being on the show. So I'm super excited to have him back. And he's going to give us a great campground review of a campground in Colorado that he really loved. And it looks like he had an amazing, amazing time there. So I'm excited to catch up with Scott, excited to bring you another great campground review from out west because you've been asking for him. So Scott Elias, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a minute.
It's been more than a minute. I mean, you're making me feel old because it's like, oh, my God, the podcast has been around for 6 years. How is it possible somebody hasn't been on for years? But it's great to have you back. How have you been? I'm asking all of our correspondents as they come on the show, like, how has this wild and crazy year been for you?
I think that sums it up. I'm back in public education, and it's just been, I don't think we've stopped. We're rolling up on spring break here, and I don't think it's stopped. I work in central office, and it has not stopped for us since spring break of last year. But we're grateful. Everybody's healthy in our family, and Colorado seems to be trending in the right direction, and I'm up for my second vaccination here in a few days. So I'm just excited to get any semblance of normal back. But thanks for asking.
Oh, good for you. And just to any of the educators, first responders, nurses, anybody listening out there, we appreciate you so much. And I know I want my kids back in school. So good luck to you as you get the second shot. I hope it doesn't knock you out too much. So also catch us up on your RV journey, because you've got a little bit of an interesting story here in terms of Scott as an RV owner and now Scott as not an RV owner. So tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, it's fun to be on RV on the RV Atlas without actually owning an RV. I didn't know that was something you could do, but I'm thrilled to be here. So last time I think I was on, it was actually maybe in early 2018. We had an RV and made some life decisions around that time. One of them was to leave the private sector where I'd been for 5 years at Apple, and it was a great job, but it kept me on the road. And we were enjoying camping, but my oldest was about to start high school, and he was going to be in the marching band. And I've been in marching band, and marching band is a lifestyle decision, just like camping. And so we sort of looked at everything and ended up having to turn back in a company car. And so all of that just sort of fell into place that, you know, the amount of nights that we're really using the RV, is it worth the payment, the 12-mile-per-gallon truck, the insurance, and just at the season of life that we were in, made the decision to sell the RV and get something a little more economical as a daily driver. But when you look at the economics of it and where we were for the number of days that we would have ended up using an RV, we really decided, you know, there's some really great places that are RV parks that have cabins. So we can do it. And I heard you talk about this a lot on the episode you did around camping in around New York. There are so many places now that are catering to glampers with glamping tents and cabins that we really feel like for where we are right now, that was the right call. And so I'm excited to talk about one of the experiences we had here today, but we definitely miss it. My daughter's always after me. Excuse me. My daughter's always after me saying, why did we sell the camper? So depending on the day of the week, I'm way down in the teardrop camper rabbit hole. But right now we're in the spot where we need to be.
We've been kind of messaging back and forth a little bit on Instagram, and I just like the camping desire is strong in you. Look, we've been preaching the cabin message here on the RV Atlas for years, and there's different ways to camp, you know, at different points in your life. And yeah, Stephanie and I do cabins all the time too. So, I mean, you went cabin camping here at this great resort in Colorado. You had an amazing time. And I do actually think you're going to end up back in an RV again soon though.
I would say we have our youngest is now going into ninth grade, if you can believe that. And I think probably in a few more years, it might be more of a camper van situation with my wife and I, and then maybe, something smaller if the kids want to still hang out with us at that point. But yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hard to live in Colorado and not want to get outside. And I think COVID honestly has compounded that because, by May or June last year, we started to get kind of stir crazy.
Yes.
That's when RVing and camping really took off. But it's been fun. I have a brother who lives in North Carolina or South Carolina, and he's got four kids, and he's jumped into the RV lifestyle with his kids. And it's been really kind of fun just to watch their journey and, watch them enjoy it. So it's been great.
And what did your brother get as an RV?
Oh gosh. I think it's a Grand Design brand. But it's like 37 feet from end to end. And it didn't take him long. He sort of followed the classic, the Jeremy and Stephanie method, right? He had the small RV for a relatively short period of time, realized they really enjoyed it. And with a family of six, that's an economical way to get the opportunity to travel. So within the last month, he texted me one morning. I got a text from him, and it was a picture of an F-250. And then about 3 days later, I got a picture of the 37-foot camper that they were going to tow with it. So they went through the upgrade cycle. But they love it. And they've gone to Carolina Pines, which I think you guys reviewed. That's one of their favorites. They're heading down to Fort Wilderness in April. And so for them and for them and their family, it's great. So it's been really kind of fun just to watch them go through that experience with their family as well.
All right. Now we're going to come back in a second. And Scott has a really terrific review of Ouray Riverside Resort. And he's also going to talk about Ouray, Colorado and some things to do around there. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. Thetford makes going places easy by manufacturing top RV maintenance and sanitation products, and they've been doing it since 1963. Their brand new Titan all-terrain RV hose support is the industry's most rugged and durable sewer hose support. It includes 5 24-inch stackable supports that are easy to set up, and they come with a really nice-sized storage bag so you can pack them back up when it's time to go home. Titan sewer hose supports have a durable poly construction that is easily washable and has no rusting parts. They support up to 15 feet of sewer hose and are compatible with Titan sewer hose systems and other hoses. Protect your sewer hose by getting it up off the rough ground. And don't forget to look for Titan Green at an RV parts and accessory store near you. To find out more, head on over to Thetford.com. All right, Scott, give us some of the basics about this campground, this Ouray Riverside Resort. What do we need to know? Get us started.
Yeah, you bet. So Ouray is in southwestern Colorado. It's about 6 hours from us here in Fort Collins, about 5:45 from Denver. And Ouray, well, when we stayed there in the summer of 2020, it was Ouray RV Park and Cabins. It is now Ouray Riverside Resort. They ended up acquiring a lodge and some cabins immediately to quite a bit. So they've got 70 campsites, primarily RV camping here, not a lot of tent camping. But the big sell is the sites that are right along the Uncompahgre River. It's just beautiful. Ouray is located in a box canyon, so you've got essentially mountains on three sides of you. So the campground itself is on a relatively thin strip of land between the highway and the river. But you're not there to look at the campground. You're really there to look at everything else around the campground. And where we stayed is in a deluxe cabin. So they have some, I guess you'd call them primitive cabins that are more like tent camping with a solid roof and walls. But we stayed in a deluxe cabin when we were there. It was fantastic.
Do you hear the highway at all from the campground?
You know, there's trees between, there's some evergreens between the highway and the campground. And it's not really, when I say highway, it's a state highway. It's a two lane, 35, 40 mile an hour road at that space. So it's not like you've got big rigs going by. But no, it's very quiet. And when you're in the campground, you mostly hear the river.
Do you think it's accurate to call this a resort? You know, like a lot of campgrounds kind of just throw in that term very loosely. I mean, does this have a resort feel to you?
Yeah, I think they had what was interesting is this was Father's Day weekend in 2020. And it was right, at least for Colorado, it was really when we were starting to say, like, you know, it's okay to travel if you wear a mask, rest stops are okay. You know, we were really kind of weighing whether or not we should be going anywhere. And I had been following the RV park and cabins forever on Instagram because they post the most beautiful pictures. And I'm like, well, I wonder what would happen if we just looked. I said, we're not going to find anything. You know, it's May. Maybe we'll find something in July or August. And they had one cabin available for three or four nights over Father's Day weekend. So I grabbed it and we made the trip out there. But I would say they have a pool. They have a restaurant. And now they have like an actual camp store and a laundromat and a gas station with the land they acquired. So I would say it definitely is, it's resort adjacent, maybe, not a resort, because you can walk down, there's a river walk along the river and you can walk along the trail and be in Ouray proper in 5 minutes.
Fantastic. So this was like your first kind of trip back in May as you ventured, you know, out of the house during the whole COVID thing. Is that right?
Yeah, and I remember stopping at, you know, we'd stop at like fast food places to use the restrooms on the drive, and it was like, you know, you're putting your gloves on, you're putting your mask on, and there's still no one allowed to eat indoors, and we're a little kind of just freaked out. They were very mindful of the fact that they were fortunate to be open. They had a whole sheet when you arrived about protocols they had followed to prepare the cabin for you, including putting an air purifier in there for an hour. All of the linens were bleached. So they did a really nice job of making you feel like this is a safe place to be. So I give them a ton of credit for that. And there was a really big push in Colorado to keep Colorado open and to follow the mask rules and the protocols.
I give all the credit in the world to the campground owners that made it work, that very rapidly changed their policies. I'm sure it cost them time and money to make their guests feel safe in this environment. You know, and looking back on last May, we didn't know what we didn't know. So everyone was kind of driving blindly at that point. But I really do appreciate campgrounds that made the effort. And, you know, Stephanie and I have been disappointed in a few places that we've showed up over the past year where they just didn't seem to be trying at all. So I'm really, really glad to hear that. Take us into the sites. Like, what are the sites like? What are the site options at the campground?
Yeah, so it's, I would say it is not, you're not there for the campground. Campground itself, the bulk of it is pretty wide open, gravelly, ground. The sites are delineated, with the kind of the usual poles and curbs and things like that. But the campground itself is not, it's functional. I think Stephanie used the phrase rack 'em and stack 'em. I wouldn't say it's quite rack 'em and stack 'em. But the goal is to have a place to park your rig so that you can get out of the campground and enjoy everything else that's there. So the campground itself is pretty wide open. There are about 20 some premium sites right along the Uncompahgre River, and those are really the ones that are in demand. I think the rest are kind of on this loop in the middle. But what was really interesting for us is we didn't know. We just wanted to get out of town and go somewhere pretty, and we definitely did that. One of the things that is extremely popular in Ouray is off-roading and jeeping. So there's tons of jeep rentals, but all of the sites there, which was something I had never seen before, you could have up to three, I'm just going to use my air quotes, and say three things on your site. So you could have your tow vehicle, your RV, and your jeep. Because in some cases you have a fifth wheel, you know, a truck towing a fifth wheel, towing a trailer with a jeep on it. Like, so people had some crazy setups, and they were all accommodated there.
Now this is like
cabins were kind of isolated. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
So on the Jeep thing, like, is this the type of area where you can go and rent one or have somebody take you on like a tour? Do you have to have your own Jeep to go exploring, or are there like outfitters?
No, maybe? we were fully prepared to rent one. I managed to get, I got the family commitment, and it was still relatively early in COVID, and I just wasn't ready to do something like that. Like, I used to be a middle school principal, so I don't want to touch anything. Anybody, I don't want to get in a Jeep that somebody else touched. How do I know that they've cleaned it? It's not like our car. There are tons and tons of Jeep rental places out there. And they will show you everything from easy trails to some of the crazy trails in the area. But you are up in the San Juan Mountains. And it is the perfect weather in June. I mean, it was 60s at night, 70s during the day. I mean, it was just beautiful Colorado weather.
I have wanted a Jeep since I was 16, and I think it might be like my midlife crisis mobile.
You and me both.
You've wanted a Jeep too and never had one?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, a Jeep to tow the teardrop trailer that I'm never going to get, but I'm going to spend a year on Instagram looking at.
That sounds really, really good to me. Yeah. let's get Jeeps. We'll head back to this campground. We'll take them off-road.
Totally. Absolutely.
So what else do we need to know about, like, the location of the campground?
Your ride itself is pretty small. So the campground is right kind of on your way into town. Your ride's not particularly big, so it's hard to miss when you're cruising in. I think just being right on the river was pretty awesome, because we had in the picture you can kind of see, I don't know if you'll link them in there, but there are three cabins and they face directly onto the river. So you can sit on your patio, you can look at the river walk, the river is right there, and you're just looking to this box canyon that is just beautiful. And so I most evenings I would string up one of my kids' hammocks across the porch, and I would just be laying in the hammock with a glass of wine, watching the sunset, and just spending time out there with the family was perfect.
And at that point, does it matter that you're in an RV or a cabin or whatever it is? I mean, you're out there enjoying nature, right?
It really didn't matter at all. In fact, several times during the stay, we actually were like, this is better than having the RV, because we could just leave it and we didn't have to worry about towing it in there, because there are some pretty, I don't want to say sketchy, but some of the things that are in the area worth seeing, you're kind of going up some switchbacks up into the mountains, and not having to worry about a large tow vehicle or having to tow an RV. It was really nice. I mean, the cabins had a full kitchen. They had a bedroom. So my wife and I had a bedroom on the main floor. And one of the challenges for us, and this is really like the ultimate first world problem, but we have two teenagers. One is a boy, one is a girl. So it's hard to stay in a hotel room with a family of four even when you have kids that age. And so we're always looking for how can we give them both their kind of their privacy or their own space when we go out and travel. So the cabins themselves were nice. They actually look kind of like park model RVs that they cladded with like wood siding on. But the cabins have a loft. And in the loft, there were two twin beds and a full bed. And the kids kind of made that their space. And then we had the whole main floor and our own bedroom, and everything flowed out of the patio. So it was a really great way to be together, but not be like on top of each other.
I tell people all the time that, like, non-RV owners that take hotel vacations and they have kids, I'm like, you can get a cabin for basically close to the same price as a hotel room, maybe a little bit more, but you'll have 2 to 3 times the amount of space. Like, to me, if there's a campground in an area with cabins, like, skip the hotel entirely. And the other thing I always say too, I'm an RV owner, and when I rent cabins, I miss my RV a little. When I'm in my RV, I never want to be in a cabin. But I will say this, if something breaks in a cabin, you call up the campground manager to come fix it. You know, where if something breaks in your RV, like, you got to deal with it, you know? So there is some, comfort and convenience to renting a cabin. Now, what about tent campers at this campground? You mentioned before, maybe not the place for them. Is there somewhere nearby if you want to tent camp?
Yeah, I would say if you're heading to this part of Colorado and you're a tent camper, I would look about 15 miles up the road is Ridgeway State Park. And if you're searching for it, I have to spell check it every time, because if you write Ridgeway, you've misspelled it. They don't put an E after the G. But Ridgeway State Park is absolutely gorgeous, has a giant reservoir, and they've got a pretty substantial – Colorado State Parks are fantastic. And they've got I think it's almost 300 campsites, everything from tents all the way up to kind of that semi-hookup. And they are just about 15 minutes away from your RV, and they also have yurts. So if you're into I don't want to say glamping because they're definitely a little Spartan in some of the glamping places. But if you want to go and have a yurt camping experience, you can go to Ridgeway State Park and rent one of their yurts. I did look, they were all full when we were heading out that way. But, you know, the yurts don't have all of the amenities that
you'd have to bring all your glamping stuff.
Right. You have to bring the stuff. And that's one of the pluses about a cabin. Like you said, you don't have to bring the stuff. If we were not there in COVID, the cabins would have been fully like they keep like staples in the cabin, right? Salt, pepper, oil, and, you know, all the stuff you need to cook. Since it was during COVID, none of that stuff was there. We had to bring everything, but that's all we really, really had to bring.
Awesome. Now, is there, before we kind of move into the next segment and talk about some things to do in the area, is there anything else you wanted to tell us about the cabins or about the accommodations at this Ouray Riverside Resort in Colorado?
No, I think, you know, I think it's a great place if you're heading, if you're even in New Mexico or Arizona and want to head up into the mountains. It's definitely a small place that probably not a lot of people outside of Colorado are particularly familiar with unless you are really into jeeping or ice climbing. But no, it's a great place. We would definitely go back. It was a nice quiet campground. And like you said, cabins can be the way to go. The other thing that works for us in the cabin is we have some dietary needs in the family, and being able to cook our own food was one of the things we loved about a camper and that we hate about going to hotels. So I think it's great. It was perfect for us, and it was perfect for what we were looking for, which was just to get somewhere quiet in the mountains for the weekend.
Awesome. So you're going to tell us a bit more about some things to do in the area in Ouray, Colorado. But before we talk about that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Ocala Marion County. This may be the last place you can experience Florida in its original state. Not overdeveloped or overly crowded, just quiet, natural, and spacious. Ocala Marion County welcomes RVers with plenty of beautiful parks and resorts, some of them located right on lakes or even golf courses. And once you're there, the whole area becomes your own personal outdoor playground. You can explore miles of hiking trails and spot wildlife like deer, bald eagles, and of course, alligators. You can cycle scenic roadways or mountain bike on nationally recognized trails. You can canoe, kayak, paddleboard, or simply splash around in pristine waterways, including the area's famous Crystal Clear Springs. And once your adventures are done for the day, you can enjoy everything from award-winning craft breweries and barbecue joints to hip farm-to-table restaurants and taquerias. Take it from us here at the RV Atlas, Ocala Marion County is worth the trip. I was actually just talking to my friend Johan, who lives in Florida, and he said it is absolutely beautiful here. Plan your adventure today at ocalamarion.com. Now, Scott, take us back to Colorado. So what is this area known for? What is there to do in this area of Colorado?
Yeah, Ouray is, I don't know whether they named it, you know, it's always, did somebody call them the Switzerland of the Americas, or did they self-identify with that name? But they are the Switzerland of the Americas. And like I said, they're in a box canyon. So the geology is really interesting, because when you're driving into town, you're kind of looking like this road is going to end. But basically, you're going into this box canyon, which is shaped like a U. And when you get to the bottom of the U, the road becomes these switchbacks, and you basically climb straight up the canyon, and you are on the $1 million highway headed to Silverton, Colorado. But anything that you can do outside in Colorado, Ouray just takes to the nth level. You could ask me something? Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, proximity to Denver. Just give us an idea for those of us like on the East Coast that don't know Colorado so well.
Yeah, you East Coasters. Yeah, it's not far from Denver, but the drive from Denver, you're going through the mountains. So it is about a 5.5-6 hour drive from Denver. It's actually, since it's in southwestern Colorado, it's actually only a few hours from Moab in Utah. And it's relatively close to places like Durango, Telluride, and some of those other popular mountain towns in the southwestern part of the state.
It's like you're rubbing it in with all the amazing places that are like within reach of you and your family for just like a little casual weekend in Moab.
Yeah, it actually was. It took us about as long to get to Moab a couple of years ago as it did to get to Ouray, just because you're winding through the mountains. But I mean, it's a gorgeous drive. In fact, along the drive from Denver, you actually go through Kurasanti National Recreation Area, which was really funny because we love Rock the Park. I'm sure you guys have seen it with your family, the Rock the Park guys on ABC. they had just done an episode on Kurrasanti National Recreation Area, maybe a couple of weeks before we traveled, and I had no idea. But it is just a huge series of lakes and reservoirs that are incredibly popular for boating. So if you're a boater or you're traveling through with your boat or your kayaks or your stand-up paddle boards, Kurrasanti National Recreation Area is remote. It's not probably a destination you would travel to on its own. But it was gorgeous to drive through.
Scott, I'm 99% sure that Colton from Rock the Park just announced he's having twins.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
I want to double check right now, but I'm really close to being positive that I just saw that. So I was excited.
I relate to Colton and his fear of heights. Sometimes doing some of these crazy climbs. They did like a 14er here in Colorado, and the guy's like terrified of heights, but he like pushes himself through and he makes it happen. That's such a great show.
It's a great show. And anybody, we've had Jack on the RV Atlas podcast. I mean, if anyone is kind of new to kind of the camping, RVing, great outdoors thing, and you're listening to this podcast, definitely check out Rock the Park on television or wherever it's streaming at the moment. I don't know. So what else is there to do in this area with a family? Like, what other cool things might you want to do for a day trip?
So we talked about the Jeep trails. That's always an option. Definitely. Again, one we didn't really explore because we were in COVID, but all of the Jeep rental places all offer either guided trips or you can rent a Jeep and they'll sort of set you up with a map. So that would definitely be something that that I would want to do if I went back again. They have one of the unique features in the town is they have something called the Perimeter Trail, and it starts and ends at the visitor center in town, and it actually climbs up onto the side of the mountain, and you can basically do this six and a half mile, I think, trail around the town of Ouray, and you don't have to do the whole thing. There are places around town where you can park and kind of take a little path and get on the Perimeter Trail, but if you wanted to do a full day of hiking, you're basically at 7,700 feet and you're doing a 6.5 mile hike with about 1,500 feet of elevation gain to make the entire loop. And it'd be a good half day, full day hike. We did a piece of it because there's some really pretty waterfalls in the area. One is a Cascade Falls, which is right along the Perimeter Trail. And that's one you can easily hike up to. They also have another pretty famous waterfall called the Box Canyon Falls, but it's like canyon with the N-Y over the N, not like C-A-N-Y-O-N. But Box Canyon Falls is actually a city park. And this was probably the only place we were on the whole trip. We were a little bit sketched out by people being around. So I didn't get any pictures because I was too busy like trying to keep my distance. But there's a relatively skinny trail that goes into this Box Canyon. And you can go right up to the base of this incredibly huge waterfall that's coming from the Uncompahgre River right into this canyon. And you get to walk through tunnels that used to transfer water through the mountain to drink. They're now tunnels you can kind of walk through. We had a really great time, but there were a lot of people and a lot of them were not following the protocol. So it was like 40% enjoyment, 60% like, let's see it and turn around and get back to the car.
Right. Really back cool. In May for sure. Now you have too much beauty in Colorado and it's kind of unfair. Like you're just throwing around like, oh, there's a waterfall and then there's another waterfall. Like, let me ask you this. I mean, is this area as beautiful as Rocky Mountain National Park or is it that good? I mean, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think it's at least as beautiful as Rocky Mountain National Park. You know, Rocky Mountain is one of the challenges we have is we're about an hour from Rocky Mountain National Park. And I know this is not the topic of the podcast, but we went New Year's Eve. We went up and it was a beautiful kind of bluebird Colorado day. And we went up with the family to Rocky Mountain National Park and rented snowshoes. And we're going to do a snowshoeing trail. And Jeremy, it was December. You couldn't find a place to park. There were lines to get into the park. And, you know, we love Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, but it is just not, it is so crowded that there are so many other good places that are as beautiful or more beautiful than Rocky Mountain. There's even areas in Rocky Mountain National Park that are much less crowded. So we went up and we ended up finding a spot and kind of putzed around for a little bit on snowshoes. But one of the challenges for us is that I think it's similar to all the national parks is some of them are getting so overused that it's almost not fun unless you get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. So finding these little out of the way places has really become a fun challenge.
You know, sad to say, but Stephanie is a little resistant to the idea of a Colorado trip because of how crowded Rocky Mountain National Park is. And my thought is, if we were to do one of our big kind of 2-week RV Atlas trips, that I might only go to Rocky Mountain National Park for 3 days and just go other places in Colorado, because it just seems like the state is beautiful from top to bottom.
I would say we should just do an episode of planning your Rocky Mountain trip, because we've been to a ton of campgrounds, and I think you're right on. You could stay in some really beautiful, uncrowded places, leave the RV, and go into Rocky Mountain National Park for a day trip here and there, and you would get that a similar experience. The campgrounds are nice in there, but there are as nice or nicer campgrounds outside of Rocky Mountain National Park that are going to give you a much more, and I don't want to sell our own national park short because it's absolutely gorgeous.
No, you're just saying it's a reality check. It's crowded there.
Yeah. If you want to come and do Colorado, there are so many more remote, more beautiful places that you could really feel like you're away from people.
Well, this is a painful decision process for me, but, you know, because we're starting to think like, okay, Max and Theo are in the house for 6 more summers or, you know, 7 more summers. What are the big RV trips? What are the big camping trips we want to do before they're in college? And there's part of me that's thinking, well, maybe Rocky Mountain National Park is something Stephanie and I will just do when we're older and we can go anytime we want and not have to go in the summer. So that's where my head is at. Now, Scott has a little bit more, some more recommendations for us in this area. We're going to wrap up. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. The brand new J Feather Micro Series is rugged and ready for adventure, but also lightweight and easy to tow. The 5 floor plans in the Micro Series are packed with high-end features like 16-inch Goodyear off-road tires, roof mount solar prep, and pre-wire for an inverter. The included 17-inch Blackstone griddle is also a Jayco exclusive. The side Nerf bars and optional roof and bike racks make it easy to bring your bikes and kayaks along to the mountains, the ocean, or the lake. The Micro Series has floor plans that are perfect for solo travelers, couples, or families that can't wait for their next great outdoor adventure. To find out more, visit Jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun. So what else do we need to know, Scott? What are anything else that we should really check out if we're going to visit Ouray?
I think we've hit on most of the big ones. You know, again, it's hard. If you're going in the near future, check and see what's open right now. There is a hot spring. There's a city pool that is connected and fed by hot springs. Of course, that was closed when we were there, but it was really nice to look at when we drove by. And I think the real big, if you are not sketched out about mountain driving, there is a stretch of highway. It's a famous stretch of highway called the Million Dollar Highway. Supposedly it was called that because in the 1800s, when they built the highway, it cost $1 million. And it connects Ouray, the Box Canyon south end of Ouray, with the town of Silverton. And it is, I took the kids. Lorraine was like, I think I'm going to stay at the cabin and, you know, hang out in the hammock. But I took the kids and we drove halfway. We drove to the high point and then turned around and came back. And if you are, I would not tow up that. People do it, but I wouldn't. If you are at all sketched out about being next to long drops, I would avoid it, but it was gorgeous. And there are, the area is known for mines. They had a lot of mining up there. So there's still a lot of abandoned mines that you can photograph, take pictures of. There's a lot of informational signage up there about the historic mines that in some cases the companies have now contributed back to conserve that land and, you know, help repair some of the damage that the mines had done. So it's just a really interesting area. If you like photography, if you're into history, if you like looking at old mines, or if you just want to sit in your hammock and look at mountains and have a beer or a glass of wine.
Sounds wonderful. I mean, is this one of your favorite parts of your home state that you love so much?
Yeah, I always say I would totally go back, but there are so many places in Colorado that even after living here for 16 years, we still haven't been able to explore. So this is definitely one of our favorite in-state trips, camper or no camper. I definitely recommend it if you can get there.
Scott, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Can we maybe get you back on in a couple months instead of a couple years next time?
Yeah, that's a deal.
It doesn't have to be a campground review. I mean, you did an awesome episode on craft beer, and that's been several years since we did that. So maybe we could come up with a craft beer topic again.
We do craft beer. We could do bourbons. You know, you name it. I'm here for you. I am here for the RVFTA Global Empire.
Thanks, Scott. It was great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you at the campground. And seriously, when we come out to Colorado, we will hang out for sure.
I can't wait.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.